Special occasions are even better with quality catering from Chick-fil-A. Whether watching the big game or celebrating special occasions, Chick-fil-A catering is always the perfect choice. Select package meals, food trays, side items, desserts, and beverages. Then sit back and let Chick-fil-A do the rest. They'll even deliver with a minimum purchase. For details, contact Chick-fil-A at 2007 Rockford Street, Mount Airy. Call 336-648-8500. Make it remarkable with catering from Chick-fil-A, Mount Airy. This is People Doing Good for Others, presented by Chick-fil-A of Mount Airy. For more than 20 years and over 1,000 shows, WIFM's Gary York has highlighted the people who make a difference in the lives of others. Our motto? Be generous, advocate worthy causes, and speak for those needing a voice. Thank you for your continued support of People Doing Good for Others on 100.9 WIFM.
Good morning, friends in Yadkin Valley. This is Gary York in the studios of WIFM, and my featured guest today is Mr. Anthony Gurley. We've been friends for at least 30 years, and he's a retired financial officer at Guilford College, and I'm in the studios of WIFM on North Bridge Street. He's also an author and a very wonderful tribute to helping those who may be struggling and deadly dilemma. Anthony Gurley, how did this happen? And just give us a little overview, if you will.
Well, thank you, Gary. It's good to hear your voice. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you a little bit this morning. I never set out to write and publish a book. That was never the intent. What I did set out to do was recapture my life story for my kids and grandkids. The original intent was to try to remember as best I could and talk to some folks and try to recall and capture the story. I'm 74 years old, and I wanted them to know Pappy in a way that they might not otherwise know me, the good, the bad. You know, they're old enough now, both the grandkids and the kids, of course, to appreciate knowing all of Pappy. So that was the intent, and I spent about 5 years reconstructing it all and then wrote a draft.
Anthony Gurley, how many pages and when was it published, and how can folks get a copy if someone would choose to be a reader of
It's about 310 pages. It was launched a month ago today, actually. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, ebooks on Apple iBooks. But what happened, Gary, it's an interesting thing. I have a very dear friend in our Sunday school class who has made her living as an author for over 40 years. I had her read the prologue to it and then a few excerpts, and she came back to me and said, "I think you need to rethink this." And I thought she was going to tell me to burn it and never let it see the light of day. But what she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, "You know, this is your story. You're just an average guy. You're not a celebrity. You're not famous. You're not an athlete or whatever. This is your story, but there's a plumber in Dubuque, Iowa that has a story, and he's never had the courage to confront his. And maybe if he came across your story and your transparency, how honest you are about the good times, the bad times, the successes, the failures, maybe he would garner the courage to confront his story."
The essence of deadly dilemma, if you will.
I'm a sociologist. You and I share a Guilford College background. I'm a sociologist by academic training. And when I made the decision to go forward with publishing a book, I decided it had to be more than just about telling my story. So the title, Deadly Dilemma, suggests an ongoing struggle with a big question. And that big question, it's right in the front of the book, are the good times in life, the successes, the victories, the wow moments, the peaks that we all experience, do they come often enough? Are they powerful enough, lasting enough to overcome what for many can be a seemingly daily struggle with failure, disappointments, lack of self-esteem, valleys? And we know, Gary, from a statistical standpoint, far too many people answer that question no, they're not, and they make a devastatingly bad choice. And so the book titled Deadly Dilemma, a Memoir, opens up with a prologue that I titled The Letter I Never Sent. And I think you get the gist of that.
So we're talking about suicide.
We're talking depression and suicide, yes.
Okay.
And my goal was to ask that big question and then tell my life story, confronting good times and bad times, and then answer that question for myself. In the last chapter and the epilogue to the story, I answer that question for myself and make it very clear that this is my answer. And it's a good answer. I'm here telling the story. I'm here talking to you on the radio. You know, it's a good answer, but it's my answer. That plumber in Dubuque, Iowa, might have a different answer, but his answer's out there. My mission in the book is to tell the story, reflect on the story at the end of every chapter, and hopefully persuade folks who are struggling with that big question to keep searching for their constructed life answers to that question.
Anthony, share the essence of childhood and the relationship with your dad and some of those things that led you into this dark place from time to time.
Well, you've hit the bullseye. We grew up in what would today be called Section 8 housing in a project. And, you know, I didn't know we were poor. Everybody who lived around was poor, so it was cool. But in the seventh grade, I just turned 12 years old. I was the next to the last player cut from seventh and eighth grade basketball team tryouts. I just knew I was going to make the team. And I was the next to last player cut in the tryouts. Devastated. I cried every step of the way home. And as I got to the sidewalk leading up to our steps at the apartment in the project, I met my daddy walking out. He was walking out with a suitcase in one hand and a bunch of clothes on the other. I saw him four times in my life after that, a couple of times shortly after that, and then twice when each of our children were born, we took them to try to introduce them, got no response. So on that same end, 2 hours, a devastating decision offered to me by a coach, which I had earned. And I mean, I earned that bad decision. And then my daddy walking out. I have two memories of my father, Gary. One, I'd get between him and the black and white 3-channel television sometime back in those days. And he would holler at me, "Get out of the way. I can't see through muddy water." He couldn't ask me just to move over or sit down. "Get out of the way. I can't see through muddy water." And I remember him telling me on more than one occasion, "Don't ever ask me for a damn thing." Those two things, Gary, have colored the landscape of my life for the last 60 years.
Anthony Gurley has written a wonderful tribute to helping people and that maybe are on the edge. I know a lot of people, I for one have gone down that road a little, maybe not far enough to be a victim. However, we've all thought about failure. We've all talked about not getting it right or having parents. I'm happen to be one of those folks that walked off like your dad did. So we're confronted.
Gary, I have to tell you, there's a faith walk throughout the book. Now, we didn't publish this as a quote Christian book, but there's clearly a faith walk that runs through the book, and that was intentional because it was dealing with all the stuff would have never been as rewarding as life has been had it not been for that, as Quakers like to talk in the pictures in the meeting houses sometimes, that presence in the midst. That presence was never not in my life. And no matter how hard some of these issues became, that presence was always there. And I never wandered far from that, and I'm very grateful for that, because that makes a difference at the end of the day here.
Anthony Gurley, when you're speaking or thinking about those who are on this journey of despair, if you will, what are some of the symptoms of, or likely, this, we picture this person, man or lady or young girl, young boy, struggling. What are some of the things that maybe that we can see in others, if you will?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There's a whole lot of literature out on that, but essentially, in terms of things you watch for, when you see people just withdrawing from social activities and isolating themselves, they are just withdrawing totally from interaction. That I worry about today's young people getting so caught up with that gadget in their hand and that screen in their face, and COVID didn't do us any favors in that. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people between the ages of 10 to 14 and 20 to 34. They've withdrawn from socialization, giving up on daily tasks and responsibilities, feeling guilty about each and every little thing, which for oftentimes it's not their fault. Not intentionally pursuing friendship with folks. One of the outcomes of this exercise, Gary, was the development of a little mantra that I came up with of friends, choices, consequences. Choose your friends carefully and then cultivate them, and then let those cultivated friends influence your choices, but continue to make choices wisely, not offhand, and then at the end of the day, embrace the consequences, whatever those choices are. Sometimes really good choices will have bad consequences. Sometimes we make stupid decisions, but somehow it works out really well. Embrace those consequences and then move on and continue to build those friendships. And last but not least, folks who are struggling with these issues typically seem to have unexplained physical symptoms, such as headaches and all kinds of physical implications that are coming from this mental struggle that they're going through.
Anthony Gurley, we are to start of the day. You're asking us, or counseling, if you will, choosing to follow Philippians 4:8, when whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and to praise others, a sense of gratitude. How about that, Anthony? Is that's each and every day to be grateful?
That is it in a nutshell. When I left Guilford after 30 years, Gary, I'd launched a nonprofit still working with college kids, a mentoring program. And I never met a young person that rolled out of bed in the morning and thought consciously, what can I do to screw my life up today? That's not how we do it. But we do go about the day and make a small bad choice, and before you know it, those things snowball and escalate, and who knows. Our mantra to these students was, regardless of where you are in your faith walk, you don't have to be in the same faith walk that I am as a Christian to appreciate the value of the message from Philippians. Start your day thinking about things that are true, noble, righteous, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, and then let those things influence the decisions you make as you go about in the day. And then having done that, you need to have reliable friends around you. Do not withdraw from them. Do not withdraw from your friends. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I made as a young man. I'm an introvert by nature, and I did not intentionally seek friendships. I was blessed, Gary, and I know you can appreciate this, given you were an athlete as a young man. I was blessed to have coaches in my life as a young man and even into college. I never played sports, but I was a trainer. And these coaches in high school knew about my family situation, and they took me under their wings, and I'm grateful today. Still stay in touch with three of them.
Like the legendary John Bailey at Guilford, I saw came across a picture the other day of the role that he played in Guilford Athletics. Really wish I'd have been a little bit more aware at the time, but I hope maybe his family would forgive me for not realizing how important he was as you, the role you played in the lives of folks that are aspiring to be athletes.
Well, and one of the things that we still get together with guys from the old high school, we were the Earthquakes in Goldsboro, and I share that the thing that I'm most grateful for today in terms of that part of my life was even with the disappointment of not making that team, I still was able to stay engaged in sports, and the coaches didn't care that I wasn't a stud athlete. I wasn't the guy that was going to score two touchdowns or score 30 points on the hard court, but I was equally a part of the team.
Oh, yeah.
And they never made me feel otherwise. And I've never forgotten that, Gary. Sorry, I get a little emotional about that.
Anthony, just a little turn of feeling worthy, capable, loved. Sometimes I feel like maybe people don't feel loved, or you know, they... Do you kind of fake it till you make it, or kind of keep going anyway, find a way? Just tell us about how we fight through that barrier that might come up. Self-help, if
you
will.
You know, it's interesting, Gary. I've had the opportunity to speak on a handful of occasions now with either a church group. I spoke at a church in Goldsboro the last 3 Sundays in a row talking about the Friends Choices Consequences thing, but other men's groups. And invariably, when those sessions are over, very rarely will anybody have a question or anything. But as the congregation or the group is dispersing, invariably, folks will come forward and say, I understand. I know exactly what you're talking about, but we don't talk about it. You know, we just don't talk about it. My message is you need to talk about it. You need to identify if it's a professional therapist or counselor, fine. Doesn't have to be, in my opinion, certainly not to start. But you need someone in your life, whether it's a loved one, a close friend. I still stay in touch with my very best friend from high school. We don't see each other often, but we have been blood brothers for, 65 years now almost. You need someone in your life that you can call in the middle of the night and unburden your soul if you need to. 2 years back, my wife and I were in London. She had an accident in the middle of the night from the hotel. I had 2 brothers, not blood brothers, but brothers in soul, that I was able to call, and they prayed with me over the telephone. Many folks dealing with the kind of self-esteem issues and loneliness and all that we talk about here, many people don't have that phone to call, and you need to find it. It's just critical.
Anthony, one other, turn or concept that I'm thinking is youngsters or adults dealing with demons. Give us some idea about, we hear that word a lot. What does that mean, Anthony, demons?
Well, I think it's one of those words that we use culturally, I think. And when I talk about it, I'm talking about those gremlins.
Gremlins.
That run wild in your mind. You know?
Wow.
I do think there is such a thing as spiritual warfare, but that's not the topic for this conversation. But when I talk about demons here, I'm talking about those gremlins that get loose in your mind and tell you, no, you're not worthy of this. You know, you don't deserve that. No, you shouldn't be here experiencing this good moment. You know, I think there's a story that was shared with me a while back. I hope I get it right, but it's an old proverb from somewhere about there are 2 wolves sitting on your shoulders. You know, one is telling you good things, and the other one is telling you bad things. And which one of them wins that argument? And the answer is the one that you feed, right? you have to find a way, maybe it starts with this Philippians 4:8, but you have to find a way to feed those good voices that we all have in our minds and quiet those negative voices. Okay. And that's hard. if it was easy, this whole pandemic, if you will, of depression and suicidal tendencies wouldn't be the problem that it is. But it's not an unsolvable problem, and it takes a while.
Anthony Gurley and I are friends from Guilford College. He's a retired financial aid specialist there and a wonderful advocate for helping folks through the difficult times. And we're talking about suicide and depression, and I'm thinking the best piece of help, if we will, is make sure we have good friends and that we feel self-worth and that gratitude is the essence of our survival. And thank you so much for being with us. Would you like to close with maybe recap those special moments for us, Anthony, for Believe?
Yeah, I'm 74 years old, Gary, and it took me, 72 years to get to a place where I could write this story and feel. I'm a much better man today than I was 2.5 years ago when I committed this to paper, and it's because I went through the process of facing those gremlins, answering that question, and realizing that I didn't need to let those two things my daddy told me color any more of my life.
Wow. Thank you for blessing WIFM, Anthony Gurley, and all the folks out there that will be the beneficiaries of your strength and hope. And God bless your journey, and let's do this again soon. And WIFM is a big advocate of folks that want to make a difference in the lives of others. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it so much. You have a blessed day.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for People Doing Good for Others, presented by Chick-fil-A of Mount Airy. Please join us again next Saturday morning and encourage your friends to listen as we highlight People Doing Good for Others. Produced by 100.9 WIFM and Yadkin Valley Broadcasting.